If I had a title tonight for the word that God has given me, it would be simply this: crowded rooms, vacant lives. Crowded rooms, vacant lives. Tonight in the gospel, I want us to look at verse number 7. A verse that is probably the most familiar verse in the gospel accounts, due to the fact of our birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a phrase that God has burned into my heart. And it is the phrase, because there was no room for them in the inn. Because there was no room for them in the inn. You see, men and women, tonight, that great historical fact is so real today in 2014. Imagine that night. There is no room for the greatest man to ever be born, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet in 2014, that great historical fact, it's so real today. You think of our land tonight. No time for Jesus Christ. You think of the town tonight of Garva. Don't look to any other town. Just look to Garva. And yet, Garva is a town that has no room, no time for Jesus Christ. I want us to look at this verse tonight under three headings. Firstly, there was no room for the crib. There was no room for the crib. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said a wonderful quote: "It is a miracle of miracles that the infinite should become an infant. Miracle of all miracles that the infinite should become an infant." And yet tonight, what an indictment to the innkeeper. The greatest boy that was ever born, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was without sin, the one who was without spot, the Lord of glory, the Prince of life. And yet that innkeeper had no room for Jesus Christ. What an indictment to the Jews of Christ's day. Familiar words, I'm sure, to most. John 1 and verse 11. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." You might say to me tonight, "David, that was terrible. Imagine the Lord Jesus Christ going to be born, and yet there was no room for him." Unsee a friend in our meeting. God has spared you nearly another year. And in 2014, you have lived without Jesus Christ. Tonight there is no room for Jesus Christ in your life. No room. No room for Jesus Christ. What an indictment it was to the innkeeper. You see, what an indictment it was, because first and foremost, Jesus Christ was promised. Jesus Christ was promised. You know what the word of God says in Genesis 3 and 15? "And I will put enmity between me, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You see, it says in Galatians 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them which were under the law." Imagine the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was promised. And yet the innkeeper had no room in the inn. Not only was Jesus Christ promised to come by the seed of the woman, but he has also promised to come by the seed of Abraham. Not only by the seed of the woman and Abraham, but of the seed of Isaac and the seed of Jacob. How that Christ would come, and he would come out of the tribe of Judah. How that he would be heir to the throne of David. Imagine Jesus Christ, the one that was promised, and yet there was no room. Not only was he promised, he was pictured. You say to me tonight, David, what do you mean? Turn please to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. The Word of God says in John chapter 5 and verse 46. John 5 and verse 46 says, Christ here is speaking to the Jews, and he says, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" You see, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. We all know that the Jews were so taken up with the first five books. Jesus Christ was promised, but he was also pictured. You think that great day. What a day it was when sin entered this world. Not the garden, sin entered into the world. And you think how, when Adam and Eve had sinned, that God came. And God made a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that shed blood. It was a sacrifice that covered sin. It was a sacrifice that silenced Satan. And it was a sacrifice that clothed the sinner. Lovely picture what Jesus Christ does in the gospel. Not only did you see pictures of Christ through even Adam and Eve. What about how that Christ was promised to come by the woman? You think how that the old devil used the woman as that channel to bring sin into the world. But yet the promised Messiah would come through the woman. You think of Noah's Ark. Noah, that great man of God, the one that preached for many a year and didn't see too many souls saved, but he was one that didn't change the message. We live in a land where men and women are changing the message. But Noah was one that was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah preached. Noah preached that judgment was coming. The ark is safety. One way to the ark. One door. You think then, not only that great picture of Christ, what about Mount Moriah? The greatest substitutionary picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his substitutionary work. God will provide himself a lamb. Not only do we see those wonderful pictures, Jesus Christ was promised. He was pictured. But he was prophesied off. Didn't Micah prophesy many a year before Christ was born the very place of his birth? Old Isaiah told of his virgin birth. And yet the Jews had no time for Jesus Christ. The innkeeper had no room for Jesus Christ. I'll see a friend tonight in her meeting. What a tragedy. What a tragedy that God has given you another year. Tonight another meeting. Another opportunity to repent. But you have no room for Jesus Christ. No room for Jesus Christ. Sound familiar today in our land? Very interesting that men that are sinful and men that are wicked get high places. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, there is no room. You see, man and woman, that's why the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. You see, not only was Christ's birth, people were not interested in it. What about his life? What about Jesus Christ's life? Didn't Isaiah say he is despised and rejected by men? Men despised the Son of God, rejected God's Son. You see, not only had they no time for His birth, no time for His life. Turn quickly to Mark 2. Mark 2. Look what it says in Mark 2 in verse number 6. There was no time for His birth. There was no time for His life, for He was despised and rejected of men. But yet His very deity, they hated the deity of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? These old scribes, they didn't realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And blessed be God tonight, He's the only one that can forgive sins. No minister, no priest, no pope, no lodge, no church, just Jesus Christ. And you see, they hated the deity of Jesus Christ. Not only did they hate the deity of Christ, but they hated the eternality of Christ. Turn please to John 8. John 8. Mr. Lucas was here in the morning. He quoted from John 8 this morning. But Abraham, look what it says in John chapter 8 and verse 56. Once again, speaking to the Jews. Christ says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Do you know what they meant to do? They took up stones to stone him because they hate the doctrine of the eternality of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, men and women, Jesus Christ didn't begin at little Bethlehem's manger. Jesus Christ is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, the great I Am. You see, tonight is any different in our land. Men have no time for the birth of Christ. No time for the deity of Christ. No time for the eternal Son of Jesus Christ. You see, when I was preparing this, I was thinking many names that Jesus Christ was called. Jesus Christ was called a sinner, a fornicator, a winebibber, a gluttonous man. No wonder Isaiah could say he was despised and rejected of men. Unsafe friend, have you still no time for Jesus Christ? You see, the inn tonight speaks of a house. No room in the inn. Christian tonight, is there room in your house tonight for Jesus Christ? Is there? Wasn't it Leonard Ravenhill that said, we live in a day and generation where we've never seen better houses, but worse homes. Christian tonight, is there room in your house for Jesus Christ? Father tonight, how many of God's people have stood at the front of a church and they've taken vows and saying that they'll bring their children up in the nurture of the Lord and yet never bring their children to a Sunday school? Never teach their children the catechism. Never read the Word of God to their children. Never pray for their children. I want to tell you, our land is full of men and women taking vows and yet breaking them regarding their children. regarding our children. Husband, tonight, do you bring your wife together? And you sit with your wife and pray with your wife to God? You see, there's a quote and it says, a family altar would alter many a family. A family altar would alter many a family. You wonder why tonight the Church of Jesus Christ and God's people are under so much attack. God's people, husband and wife, no time for Christ in their house. Want to argue. Want to fight. But no time to come and to seek God's face together as husband and wife. No time to bring the children together and to raise a family altar and to open up the Word of God. I'll tell you, that's what we need again in our land. You see, what the church is, it's only a representation of the home. You have cold homes, cold church. You have homes that are vibrant for Jesus Christ, family altars praying, a desire for the Scripture. You have a church on fire for Jesus Christ. What about tonight? What about God's house? No room in the inn? Is there room tonight for Jesus Christ in His house? Remember Christ asked the disciples one day, will ye also go away? You say, David, what was he asking them? Go away from what? Going away from the Word, because Christ is the Word. Now, you wouldn't need to be a prophet or a son of the prophet to realize that God's people are going away from the Word. God's people are going away from the Word. So many church services now, so much to do with entertainment, so much to do with music, and the Word of God is pushed to the side. The Word of God should have the preeminent place in any meeting. Any meeting. Could it be said tonight that Christ is wounded in the house of His friends? Is there no room tonight in the bride of Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ, the great King and only head of the church? Secondly, not only was there no room for the crib, there was no room for Christ at the cross. No room for Christ at the cross. Jeremiah could say in Lamentations 1 and verse 12, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord have afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. Don't see a friend tonight. Is it nothing to you that Jesus Christ died on that cross? You see, it's very interesting. I preached this year on the different crowds that pass by the cross. We have the soldiers, the ones that physically crucified Jesus Christ, but men and women, it was us that crucified Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. And yet the soldiers, how that they crucified Jesus Christ physically, they sat down and watched Him there. Imagine. Imagine sitting under the very shadow of the cross and watching Christ there. How many have sat in this church over another year? Another year when our brother has preached his heart out. And you've walked out that door, sir, under the shadow of the cross, trampling the blood of Christ under your foot. See, not only was there soldiers there that day, there were those that passed by the cross. We read that in one of the Gospels, I believe it's Mark's Gospel, and they that passed by. And I tell you, men and women, tonight, it's a very dangerous thing to pass by the cross. Very interesting, that crowd that passed by the cross. You know what they said? They said three things. Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Christ never said that. Jesus Christ said, destroy this temple. And He spoke of His body. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. That crowd that passed by, and what they said, you see, critics never quote the truth. They quote it like the devil. They leave it out. And I cried that day as they passed by. They were a crowd that didn't like the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sound familiar tonight? Latin full of men like Jehovah Witnesses, full of damnable heresies, despising the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight we serve one who is living, one who is alive forevermore. Not only did they say that, they said, save thyself. Jesus, save thyself. Come down from the cross. Come down, Jesus. You know what that tells me? That crowd that passed by, they had no time for the resurrection. They had no time for the death of Jesus Christ. And then they said, if thou be the Son of God, if. You know who also said that one day? The old devil. If thou be the Son of God. See, they questioned the resurrection, they questioned the death of Christ, and they questioned the very deity of Jesus Christ. And then you have another crowd that passed by. Garvers full of them. The religious people of that day. The Pharisees and the scribes. Garvers full of them. Ones that come to church and pay into a church. And have association with a church. And maybe they're baptized. And maybe they're sprinkled. And maybe they're a good Protestant. But they're not born again. Not saved. They're the crowd that are depending on their works. And I tell you, I fear that there's men in this meeting. And you've sat for many a day, sir. Because of coming here, paying into this church, and warming a pew, I fear that you'll go from the pew to the pit. Because of the old enemy and his cuteness, trying to tell you that your self-righteousness is good enough. But I want to think very briefly of a crowd that day. And we often hear men preach on the dying faith. But little is very said about the unrepentant faith. Imagine that unrepentant faith that day. Moments from death. This man is condemned by the law. Sin had caught up with him. And you see, Mr. Lucas might not catch your sin out. Might not be any other preacher catch your sin out. Your wife, sir, might not catch your sin out. Your husband, dear, might not catch it out. But God's word says, be sure your sin will find you out. And you see, that thief that day, his sin had found him out. And he's condemned to death because he transgressed God's law. And yet here was a man that day, and he stood on a cross, kneeled beside the Lord Jesus Christ. And his very last moments, he blasphemed Jesus Christ. You see, he was guilty of breaking God's commandment. Thou shalt not steal. I don't see a friend in our meeting. I don't care what society call it. We live in a world where the media actually like to promote sin. God sees stealing as sin. Now imagine dying and standing before a holy God as a thief, condemned in sin. And here was one that day, and he was guilty of breaking God's commandment, thou shalt not steal. He was also guilty of breaking the great commandment, thou shalt not covet. Why does a man steal? Because he covets something that's not his. Are you guilty tonight of breaking God's commandment of coveting? Not only is he guilty, that man that day, of stealing and coveting, he was guilty of blaspheming Jesus Christ. You know the word of God says, he railed on Christ. Imagine. I was working before Christmas and finishing the job. And there was something went wrong with something. A man was working beside me and something went wrong. And he took the Lord Jesus Christ's name in vain. I said, it was very interesting you didn't say Buddha. Very interesting you didn't cry Allah. Or you didn't cry Muhammad. But you took the name of Jesus Christ in vain. That day there was a thief. And he was condemned by the law because he took God's name in vain. You might say to me tonight, David, I'm a sinner. I've told lies. I've stole. I've broken God's commandment, but I don't feel condemned. I want to tell you, unsaved friend, tonight, your situation tonight is the same as that man that day. For the wages of sin is death. But yet what a fool that man was that day. Because he sinned against light. Do I believe that unsaved people, when they die and go to God's hell, will they give an account for their sin? Absolutely. But they'll give an account for sinning against light. You say, David, what do you mean? Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he upbraided the hardness of some towns, Chorazin, Bethsaida. And he said, if the works had have been done in them, in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. And then he talks about Capernaum, how they'll be brought down to hell. Christ says, if the works had have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, the works had have been done, what were done in Capernaum, in Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented. And it'll be more terrible for them in the day of judgment. Now you think about that, sir. You that have sat in a free Presbyterian church, and you have heard men preach the gospel. You have heard men and women testify. Men and women sing about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And yet you're still sinning against the light. What a fool that man was that day. That man, moments from death, blaspheming Jesus Christ. That man that day, he died in view of the sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the great sacrifice. And that dying thief died in view of it. Imagine dying in view of the sacrifice. Gazing upon the blood. Imagine going to hell gazing upon the blood of Jesus Christ. He died going to hell, seeing the scriptures. For Pilate had written, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Not only did he die gazing upon the blood, gazing upon the sacrifice, gazing upon the scriptures, he died seeing his companion been born again. He died hearing Jesus Christ pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And yet in his last breath, he blasphemes Jesus Christ. Now, what about you tonight? What about you that have sat many a year? Is there still no room in your life for Jesus Christ? You see, finally, not only have we saw, there was no room for the crib. There was no room for Christ at the cross. Finally, we see there's no room for Christ. Look what it says in John 19. John 19. In the verse number 15. Here's what they cried out that day. And you know, when Jesus Christ was given over to Pilate, Pilate looks at Christ and he says, Your own nation has given thee to me. And Pilate that day, after seeing Christ, he says, behold the man. And then he says, behold your king. And the crowd cry, in verse number 15, away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. crucify him. No room for Christ. You see, tonight on See a Friend, you're going to do two things with Jesus Christ. You're either going to say tonight, I want Jesus Christ. I want forgiveness with Jesus Christ through His blood. Unless you're going to make a conscious decision and you're going to get up out of your seat and walk through those two doors rejecting Jesus Christ. You see, Barabbas is a picture of sin, for he was a thief and a robber. And tonight you're either going to say, away with my sin. Remember, sir, it's your sin. You see, in the Garden of Eden, there was those in there, Adam and Eve, how that they blamed everybody. And tonight there's nothing new under the sun. Blaming everybody else for their sin. That man that sits in Garver Free Presbyterian Church, sure he's doing the tax man. Driving about with red diesel. Hypocrite. That's why Jesus Christ said, what thank ye of Christ? I want to tell you on, see a friend tonight, God's comparison isn't with anybody in this church or any church. His comparison tonight is with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is without sin. And you're either going to say tonight, away with Christ. I want my sin. Unless you're going to say, away with my sin. And I want Jesus Christ. You see, on See a Friend tonight, you're going to give up your sin one day. I remember preaching in a mission this year, and a man was under conviction of sin. But he was asked a question, why not come to the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, you know, everything that he says is true, but I've too much to give up. Too much sin to give up. Don't say, friend, you're not taking your sin with you. No alcohol in hell. No bookmakers in hell. No drugs in hell. No sexual immorality in hell. You're going to give your sin up someday. And it's better to bow your knee in time than bow it in God's eternity. You see, tonight, this last service of 2014, should Amos' charge not ring out in your ears tonight, prepare to meet thy God. Think about it. You have an appointment with deity, sir. Deity. Imagine when Christ was born, people didn't care. See, if there's a woman pregnant now, nearly they're tripping over them asking how they are, and there's nothing wrong with that. But yet the greatest baby that was ever born, there was no room. And yet Amos says, prepare to meet thy God. If you were going tomorrow to meet somebody very important, going to meet the Queen, I can tell you, you'd be prepared. And yet Amos says, prepare, because you're not prepared. Sir, tonight you're not prepared to meet Jesus Christ. You're unprepared. You're unclean. You're still in your sin. You're ungodly. You're unrighteous. You're unjust. What are you going to do tonight with Jesus Christ? Are you going to make preparation? Are you going to say tonight, I want Jesus Christ. I want to be born again by Jesus Christ. I want His finished work. I want redemption through the blood. Or are you going to say tonight, away with Jesus Christ. Away with His blood atonement. Away with His birth. Away with His life. Away with His sacrifice. I don't want it. I trust tonight, on See a Friend in this meeting house, even though you mightn't have room for Jesus Christ, I thank God there's still room at the cross for you. Still room this night at the cross for Jesus Christ for you. You see, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Are you going to make preparation tonight for heaven and home? Are you going to go into another year if God spurs you? Another year of sin. Think of all your sin last year, this year, against Jesus Christ. Or tonight, are you going to make preparation? Are you going to count the blood of Christ an unholy thing? Tonight, sir. Tonight, dear. Don't have a vacant life. Come. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's bow in a word of prayer, please.